Maybe some of you remember back in the beginning of June, I preached a domino sermon. And we had a table full of dominoes up front here that Josh Christman had set up, starting with regular sized dominoes on this end. We had two tables set up, and the domino line went all the way down. And when we set it off, it did a chain reaction, and in the end, it toppled. I think it was probably a 2x6. It was probably 5 feet high. That morning, back in June, I talked about how each of us has a part to play and how God lines us up to be hit by the domino behind us so that we can hit the next domino, and how things in our life just kind of topple. And I want to tell you this morning, real quickly, another domino story. Several years ago, the Lord put it on my heart to adopt a church in a developing nation and partner with them, and one domino fell. And in May of 2011, World Helps Children's Choir came to Timberline and gave a fantastic program, and another domino fell. And after their program, they gave me a book by a guy by the name of Vernon Brewer, and it was called Why. And I read the book. Vernon Brewer is a cancer survivor, and his story of faith inspired me, and another domino toppled. October of 2012, we did a study here at Timberline on Isaiah 58. And I don't know if you're acquainted with Isaiah 58. If you're not, go home and read it. And we learned about God's heart for the poor and for the marginalized. And again, a domino toppled. And as a result of that study, we began to lift a second offering each Sunday morning for those in extreme poverty. And we call it what? Our bucket offering. Why? Because we pick it up in buckets. And so we encouraged you when we started that to fast and to make sacrifice and to do something so that others can just eat, period. And another domino fell into place. And we've been doing the bucket offering ever since. On May 19th, 2013, we invited the children's choir back again, and we rented a larger building. We had a special fundraising campaign and challenge in addition to our regular bucket offering. And I don't remember the exact figure, but I think we raised somewhere between $12,000 and $15,000 that night, including the bucket offering. And another domino fell into place. And last year, started thinking about this, adopting a church. And so I talked with another mission organization about adopting a church, and they kind of wanted to direct us in the area of Asia, and it just didn't seem to work for us. And another domino fell in place. And then we spent a whole year on this sermon series called Unfinished and talked about why we're still here and what God has called us to do, and another domino fell. And this year, World Help celebrated their 25th anniversary, and as a result of their 25th anniversary, they planned a trip to Guatemala for a group of pastors, and they invited me to go along, kind of out of nowhere, all expenses paid, to take this trip to Guatemala. And they did this so that we could learn about and consider maybe adopting a village, and that was like a new thought to me. And so I prayed about it. You know, am I going to do this or am I not going to do this? And I ended up traveling to Guatemala a couple weeks ago, and another domino fell. And I want to take some time this morning, and I want to tell you about that experience and how it will apply to us or can apply to us. I want to read to you 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27 says, "Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it." And that was one of the verses that I shared with you in my domino story. And what I want you to know today is that this story that I'm going to share with you and the things that I'm going to share with you, you are a part of it, because we are all a part of the body of Christ. I'd like to begin this morning by just showing you a picture. This is Vernon Brewer on the left. He's the founder of World Help. He's the guy who wrote Why. On the right is a guy by the name of Carlos. Carlos is a Guatemalan. I met him when I was down a couple weeks ago. Carlos is a guy who grew up in Guatemala and ended up moving to Rhode Island. And in Rhode Island, he became a businessman, got into the jewelry business, did pretty well financially, and then out of nowhere, he got sick, deathly sick. In fact, the doctors told him he was going to die, and that it was terminal, and his days were numbered. So he decided, kind of interesting, he decided to go back to Guatemala to die. He went back to Guatemala, and there one night, I won't bother to tell you the story because it'd take a bit, but one night the Lord spoke to him and just healed him miraculously. And he said, even though I knew the Lord up to that point, the Lord was serving me. And now I feel compelled to serve the Lord. And so he began to reach out. And he actually started with a home for people that have dementia. And I'll show you a picture about that in a minute. This is Hope of Life International. This is the complex that Carlos developed in the last 25 years from nothing. 3,000 acres is what this place is. Now, you just see a part of it here. But if you look right here, this is their recreational center. This is where they bring teams in. This is where their dining hall is and all of that. Right down here is a tilapia fields, and I'll tell you about that in a minute, where they have fish hatcheries. Over here is their office. They have an office building that is modern, is bigger than our entire church, just their offices. Right up here is the St. Luke's Hospital. It's a six-story hospital that's very modern and up-to-date. Up the top of the hill here is the orphanage. Somewhere around up here is where I slept. I have no idea. Somewhere on that mountain I slept somewhere. I don't know where it was. But we would go up these steep turns, and the turns were so steep, the roads were so sharp that the vehicles would need to go up and go like this to go around the corner and then go up and go like this. And we did that twice a day on the way up and the way back. But anyway, this is the complex. This is Hope of Life International. This is the hospital. It is completed now, but this is like a picture of it right before it's completed. Six stories, very well equipped. We spent some time in the hospital. They gave us a tour of it. And here's me holding a little girl in the hospital. Here is a place called Kelly's House on Hope of Life's campus. This is a place for special needs children. So the children in this have special needs. They're in wheelchairs. They have some major medical or other kind of issues. And this was just opened, I think, within the last year or two. Here is a picture of Vernon Brewer with one of the girls that is in the special needs house. And they're holding a picture of what she looked like when she came, when she was rescued by Hope of Life International. And if you look up a little closer, that's what she looked like when she came to them as a baby. While we were there, they did a rescue one morning. And the gentleman on the right is a businessman that was part of our group, and his grandson on the left-hand side. They went up to this rescue. Here's a boy that they rescued. They picked him up somewhere in the mountains. They loaded him on an ambulance. They take an ambulance for the rescue. They take a doctor. They take a nurse. They take the coordinator, and they take someone who takes photographs. And so they take pictures of every rescue operation. Here is a picture of the boy that they rescued. He was 24 years old. He was abused. He was handicapped. And weighed 60 pounds, 24 years old. Here's a little girl that they rescued. She was 6 years old, and she weighed 20 pounds. She was abused. So they just go up and they rescue these kids. It's one part of their mission, what they do. Here's a picture of the group of pastors, and we are on a garbage dump site, and you see the trucks in the background. And there are people that live on site at the dump. And you can see the trucks in the background. And when the trucks come in, and we saw this, trucks come in, the people begin with their rakes and shovels, and they start raking through this stuff, getting out any kind of metal or plastic that they can recycle or any kind of food. And that's where they live. Here is a house. There's about 20, if you want to call it a house, 20 shacks like this throughout the garbage dump, on this particular garbage dump where people were living. That's where they stayed. Here is, we had the opportunity to serve some food. They have a building there where they serve some food at the dump. And so the pastors had the opportunity for a period of time to just serve some of the children. And interestingly enough, Hope of Life International has, I'm told, if I understood it correctly, they have like 70 locations where they feed three meals a week, good, healthy meals a week to folks that are on the dump. Wanted to go back here. This is a picture of the convalescent home, the dementia unit, the building that is behind them. That is the very first building that Carlos had built 25, 30 years ago, and that's kind of what started with this mission. This is their corral. You'll notice it's a little hard to see, but if you look in the distance there, you can see some cattle are there. They have a herd of beef cows on site there. They have they're in the process of building a dairy barn, milking parlor. They have a water bottling plant where they bottle water and then sell it to raise money for the mission. They have a tilapia farm. He told us that they export millions of pounds of tilapia a year. And one of the neat things about Hope of Life International is that they provide 65% of their own support right on that 3,000-acre property. They have their own little turbo power plant where they get their electricity for the site. Also, they have a warehouse there where they get medical equipment from all over the world, and they stockpile it there, and then they ship it out wherever it is needed. They send it out all the time. That's what they do with this warehouse. One of the things that I agreed to do in going down, they asked me if I would come and speak to the group of pastors. And so all the pastors that went along with us, we all had a time. And so here is me giving my domino sermon. And so the crazy thing about my domino sermon is that I had it all set up. I went down beforehand to set it all. By the time I went down there, it was all destroyed. And so I set it up again, and the photographer's going around like this, and he hit the corner, and psh, all of them went down. And then one of my guys that I got to know, he said, I'll make sure it's up there. So he set it up again while they were distracted. And the other speaker, whenever bumped the table, psh, they went flat again. So finally, the one pastor, he leans over to me and he says, I have a new title for your sermon. Don't set up dominoes beforehand. So that's kind of what we learned. So anyway, that's a little bit about that part of my trip to Guatemala. And so what was it all about? Why did I go? How was I being lined up so I could fall on another domino and begin a chain reaction that becomes much greater than me? So I want you to listen to this. Might help to answer the question.
Señor Jehová, una vez más estamos ante tu presencia, Padre Santo, para poder adorarte y darte gracias por lo que tú nos has dado en el transcurso de este día, Señor. Tú conoces la condición en que estamos, Señor, pero solo tú lo sabes por qué estamos en la condición, Señor. Darnos fuerzas y darnos entendimiento y sabiduría para poder superar tantas crisis, Señor, en este lugar. No hay iglesia en el arco. Yo le he suplicado al Dios Todopoderoso por una iglesia digna en donde sus hijos del Señor lo adoren y lo alaben. Lo que más urgente es agua potable, vivienda digna, cosas que para nosotros es imposible, pero para Dios no hay nada imposible.
My church got involved with Total Village Transformation because we saw it as an opportunity to get our whole church involved with a project.
This is my first time in Guatemala. It's a little overwhelming at first just to see the poverty. I'm a stay-at-home mom. I've always wanted to go on a missions trip. It was just the right time in my life to be able to fulfill this dream.
I feel like the God has led me here. These kids have no hope at all and no education. I feel like we can build a foundation for these kids, you know, for the Lord, physically as well as spiritually.
I'm here with my daughter. She's 16. This is her first mission trip as well. I wanted her to get a different perspective on the rest of the world. And I was hoping that our relationship would grow, that she would strengthen spiritually. I am nervous. I know it's going to be a completely eye-opening experience.
World Help believes in forming partnerships. We have a partner here in Guatemala, Hope of Life, that's doing an incredible job of reaching out to the needs of people. And then we partner with local churches in North America, and together we can do something that none of us could do separately. Total Village Transformation is changing lives from the ground up. It's going into a village and providing clean water. It's providing an education system, and it's meeting both the physical and spiritual needs of that village.
As a pastor, our job is to make disciples, and we're trying to give people a heart for the whole world. When you bring people to Guatemala, it is so eye-opening. when they come to this village and they meet the people and they hear their stories, gives them a vision for the world, and it also gives them an avenue to be able to do something with it. We've raised money for a church and a well. We're seeing already the difference that's going to make in this village.
Gracias a papá y gracias a los hermanos americanos.
We have to really pray, you know, that God will bring in the light.
Que Dios venga y traiga la luz.
You know, we're joining with you and asking God to really help you.
Le pedimos a Dios
que realmente nos ayude. This is a fight for a village.
Damos gracias a Dios. No tenemos con qué pagar.
You don't need to. Pastor Eugene is very genuine, has a big heart for this village. You can see that his heart is broken, and I think our hearts have come together to try and reach this village and try to do what we can to make a difference, something that will outlive both of us forever.
Amen.
It's so easy to come to a place like Guatemala and feel compassion and just put a Band-Aid on a wound, so to speak, and not make much difference. But I'm excited that Total Village Transformation is making a difference. It is making an impact, and it is changing lives.
It's amazing to see the church there and thinking of the scripture that says the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. That church will be there forever. We had a packed house, and the word of God went forth with great power. And then to see the people at the end respond to the call to receive Christ, that was something I'll never forget.
Mi corazón está muy contento. Pues me he sentido muy emocionante, muy contento, gracias al Padre Todopoderoso que ha contestado nuestras peticiones. Construido un pozo para agua. Y hoy tienen el proyecto de una construcción de una escuela en el centro del arco.
It has been so rewarding to work with the kids. It's been my faith in action. I absolutely see hope in these children's eyes. And that's what our mission in life is, you know, not only to spread God's love, but to pass that on from generation to generation.
I just connected with the kids. I fell in love with all of them.
I've been so proud to watch my daughter be on this trip and watching her grow as a person and watching her make relationships with the kids here and just loving these kids so much. I would definitely love to come back.
Our people come, and I think they really learn how to serve God here. But no matter where someone is at spiritually, it's been a place where they can really grow, where they can really be challenged. And it's amazing the change that happens in their lives.
My spiritual journey has just grown tremendously since I've been here. And I'm just ready to come back, both feet on the ground running next time.
Our mission is not done in El Arco. We are planning to come back. I don't think this village is going to leave our hearts. I don't know that it'll ever leave our hearts. It's very humbling to be the answer to the prayers of the village. And that, I think, is something that every church should consider, that the village that they may take on may be a village that people have been praying for passionately for someone to come.
I would encourage you to maybe consider Googling it or going to their website. There's a lot more that on this video. I just had to edit a bunch of stuff out just because of time. So we took a trip to one of these villages like they talked about there. It took several hours to get there. We had to go by four-wheel drive because it was so steep. By the time we got there, it was almost the top of a mountain. We passed a number of villages. And by the time we got to the top, we were just kind of suddenly there. And here's a picture of the group at the top, pretty much the top of the mountain. This guy right here, in the blue right here, his name is Raphael. He was kind of our guide. He was a driver and just a really super guy. He was from Hope of Life. And he told us that most of these children in the village had never seen white people before. So it was kind of an interesting experience. So we took some time just to check out the village. This is one of the villages that is up to be adopted by a church somewhere. It's the inside of one of the houses. We got to go inside one of the houses and met the lady, and she's just super, super sweet. Here is the schoolhouse. It's just not much of a building at all. I had the opportunity to hand out some Super Bowls to the kids, and they loved getting those. Here is the pastor. So there's a pastor with no church building. They meet in his home, and he's been put into place there by the organization down there, Hope of Life International, and the group that work with him. Right here, I just want to show you this last picture here. This guy with a bandana on his head, his name is Tom, and he was kind of like our leader from World Help. He was the guy that kind of talked to us. And so as we had our last meal together, I asked Tom, we're sitting around, and I said, so what's the ask? And he just looked at me and said, what do you mean? I said, what's the ask, Tom? What are you asking for? And he said, there is no ask. And I said, come on, Tom. You brought me all the way down here, you know, you paid my way down here and back and took care of me while I'm here. What's the ask? And he replied, I'll never forget this. He replied something like this. We wanted to show you the need and give you an opportunity to participate. But we weren't planning on asking anything. If you sense the Lord leading, let us know. And so I just want to ask you this morning, Timberline Church, you know, what are you sensing as I shared this with you? Are we here at Timberline possibly the answer to someone else's prayer? Is there a village somewhere who's been praying for help, praying for clean water, praying for health of their children, praying to somehow find meaning and purpose in life? Is there a domino that is about to fall on us? And if so, are we going to allow that domino to hit us so we can hit the next domino? Or are we going to jump out of the way? What are we going to do? If we adopt a village, here's a little what it looks like. Number one, we contact them and let them know we are interested. I mean, I told them down there when I was there, I'm interested, but I need to go talk to my congregation. I need to go see whether they're interested. You know, John Maxwell says, if you think you're leading and no one's following, you're not leading, you're just taking a walk, and I don't want to take a walk. You know, if this isn't something that God's laying on our heart as a congregation, I'm not going to try to make it happen. But I want to make sure that there's buy-in there. And so I just told them, I said, you know, I don't just go home and make a decision. I'm going to talk to my people. So if we decide that we're going to get on board, they will match us up with the village. Could be the one that I visited. I don't know. And together with World Help and Hope of Life, who's down there, World Help's all over the world. Hope of Life is right there in Guatemala. With them and with the village leaders, we will develop a game plan and prioritize the need. Usually it consists of clean water. They have their own well drilling outfit, Hope of Life International does, but on top of that mountain, they probably can't drill a well there. It's just probably not water there, so they'll probably pipe it in from, they said, 4 or 5 miles away, they'll pipe it in. So clean water is probably the first priority. Second one is educational space. In most villages, there's a need for educational space. Medical needs. In this particular village, they were really hoping to get a clinic there somehow, some way, and a church building. The pastor showed us the property. They have property secured. They know exactly where they want to put the church building. They just don't have the money to do it. And so those are some of the things. It usually requires, they say, about a 3-year commitment, but you can go further than that. You can partner with them for 8 or 10 years, or you can move on to another village. Clean water is usually somewhere around $17,000. The total package of total village transformation can be upwards to $100,000 or more. We can do it by ourselves. We can decide to partner with another church. We can go down if we decide to do this. And here's what's really cool. And say we decide to get them clean water. Hope of Life International will get the clean water. They'll arrange it in the right way that we can show up the day they turn it on. And we can gather with that village. They're not going to hold out on them, but they'll just get us down there on time. Not just wait till the white North Americans come, but they'll arrange it. So we'll come down so that when the project's finished, we'll be there for the last little bit of the project. And he said, you guys can come down and you can go and meet everybody in the village. That village was like 300 to 400 people. You could take them care packages. There's all kinds of options to do that. We can build a whole school if we have the masons. Everything's concrete down there. If we have the masons or the the man or woman power to do it. We can build an entire school building if we want to, or they'll build 75% of it, and we can come down and do the last little bit and have a dedication and have more contact with the people. You know, we can build a church building. We can send down a medical team. We can use our bucket offerings. We can use existing mission budget money. We can raise more money. Guatemala is not that far. It's one of my concerns about partnering in Asia. There's just the distance. But Guatemala is not that far. We can send teams to Guatemala. It's not impossible to do. It's not that expensive. I left Monday morning from Philadelphia. I was in Guatemala City by noon. So here's my ask this morning. Pray about this. Talk to us about it. Talk to me about it. Send me an email. As you pray about this, what's God saying? And if God is saying, this really isn't for Timberline now, we can accept that. But if this is what God's doing, if God is going to use our little Timberline domino here and something's going to hit us, if this is the domino hitting us to go hit the next domino and we're to land in Guatemala, talk to me about that. Talk to the elders about that. I've talked with the elders about it. I've talked with the staff about it. I've been talking to people about it whenever I have opportunity. And I just want to encourage you is to pray and to ask this question, is this what God has for us? Is this what God has for us? Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for Timberline Church, for the opportunity we have to further the kingdom, for the opportunity we have to partner with people around the world. Thank you that we're already doing that in a number of ways. We're just really grateful. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. This morning for our prayer team, the elders and their wives are going to come up. Jim and Lori are going to go over on that side right there. Josh and Courtney are going to be right here. And these folks will just be available afterwards up front here to pray with you. If there's needs in your life, you just like to have someone pray for you. So you guys come on up. The rest of you stand to your feet, if you would, for our closing benediction. May the Lord bless and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you, be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you his peace. Go in that peace today. God bless you.